Blog Talk Radio.
When it's like that, people could.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing. Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place of you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be.
Valentine's weekend. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. We honor Reverend Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. We have a spirit-filled lesson on today, so let's get right into it. Have a few announcements. Amazing Grace Ministries are ministering to the hurt and wounded every fourth Sunday at Christ Deliverance Center, located 8226 South Muskegon Avenue at 2:30 p.m. Every other Friday, that's the second and fourth Friday, at 12 p.m. noon, join Amazing Grace Ministries for Friday noonday prayer. Prayer will resume on next Friday. The call number is 1-605-468-8807. Again, that's 1-605-468-8807. 5-1-4-8-2-8. That's 351-4828. Come pray with us. For more information, contact Dr. Maria Carey by email, amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, AmazinggraceMinistries@gmail.com or by phone at 309-750-7584. Join us as we continue to fast for 21 days. It's been a rocky start to the new year, but God is moving us forward in victory. please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois 60643. And to those that have sent a donation, we thank you for undergirding this ministry. Your donations are much appreciated. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you in this new year. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750-7584 or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. We are on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. We have an exciting lesson, so please tune in. The link is http://tobtr.com/s/12062580 if you would like to connect to this lesson live. We are looking forward to knowing more about African American history and celebrating the loves of our lives on Valentine's Day. This is a year of expectation and triple blessings for your trouble. So we are going into the promised land, but we are going to work for it. We have got to go to war to get what God has promised for us this year. This word has come alive in the form of Jesus. The word will captivate your mind, give you illumination in your heart, and lift you up to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to great peace, to greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we prepare for a new year of expectations. We are looking for God's blessings in this new year. Sit back. Take notes. Let's go. The theme for this month and year is a year of release and expectations. We are looking for God's blessing in this new year. And the theme for this month of February is loving who I am in God, self-love and self-care. The lesson for the second Saturday in February is marred for perfection. Our text is coming from Jeremiah 18:1-7, and this is the King James Version. 18:1 says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought the work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, and seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, said the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. Isaiah 64:7-9, and this is the King James Version, and it reads, and there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay and thou art the potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. Introduction to the lesson. When we see a crocheted blanket or a perfect-looking plate set with all the trimmings, the plate, saucer, and the cups, we never think of the preparation that has gone into making that quilt or that base, the pottery. That's because we just see the finished product. We never see the mistakes. We don't see the blanket where the patterns were messed up, nor where that blanket had to be remade. In addition, when we see that crocheted blanket, we don't see the hours from the crocheted needles, or think that somebody made this. What does it take for clay to become a work of art, where the artist can call it perfect? How many hours spent on that single item until it's put into the oven, until it's cooked to perfection? So when we look at our individuals, do we see what we have been through? We look in the mirror and say to ourselves, I don't look like what I've been through. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As we continue to navigate in this world, stuff happens in our lives. Life can sometimes be so traumatic, so intense, so problematic that it causes us for a brief time to stop, to pivot, and to look at ourselves and reevaluate where we are at. I have some definitions. When you say mar, mar is the impairing the appearance of, disfigure or impair the quality of, or spoil. Clay. Clay is a stiff, sticky, fine-grained earth, typically yellow, red, or bluish-gray in color, and often forming an immeasurable layer in the soil. It can be molded when wet and is dried and baked to make bricks, pottery, and ceramics. The potter and the clay. He has the skill and design to work with the clay and to bring it to pass. And if there be some imperfections in the clay, something which mar the design or spoil the work, the potter simply crushes the clay down to a lump and begins again to make it yet a vessel according to his own mind. Perfection is the condition, state, quality of being free, or as free as possible from all flaws or defects, a person or thing perceived as the embodiment of perfection, the action or process of improving something until it is faultless or as faultless as possible. Some background. Jeremiah is referred to by Bible scholars as the sixth pre-exilic Israelite prophet from Judah. His name means in Hebrew either the Lord exalts or the Lord throws down. He is also known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet under five kings, King Josiah, King Jehoahaz, King Jehoiakim, King Jehoiachin, and King Zedekiah. His prophecies from the Lord were not well received by the kings or the people. Jeremiah predicted that Judah would be destroyed and only those who surrendered to the Babylonians would live. The book of Jeremiah is one of the longest books in the Bible in numbers of pages of text only by the books of Psalms. While not the entire book is necessarily from the prophet Jeremiah himself, the vast extent of his prophetic career and its setting in one of the most critical times in history of Israel, from the reform of Josiah through the downfall of Judah and into the time of exile, suggests why this book looms so large in Scripture. The book of Jeremiah addresses itself to a nation under massive assault and a people whose lives are wracked with pain. With disturbing images and raw emotions, the book bears witness to a disaster that represents nothing less than the collapse of the world, cosmic crumbling, and the need of a culture. The tragedy in mind is the defeat of Judah by Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. Isaiah is the author of the book of Isaiah, an 8th century prophet, considered to be the greatest of all prophets. The prophet Isaiah lived during the 8th century B.C. He lived and preached during the tenure of four kings, King Uzziah, King Jotham, King Ahaz, and King Hezekiah. That's Isaiah 1 and 1. He began his prophetic ministry in the year that King Uzziah died, and you can see that in Isaiah 6 and 1. His father was a man named, believed to be from a very prominent Judean family. Isaiah's ministry was centered largely in the southern kingdom of Judah, specifically in Jerusalem. Isaiah's ministry is dated between 740 and 739 through 700 BC, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign. Isaiah lived during one of the most perilous periods in the history of Judah. Judah was in constant danger of being overrun, either by the major military powers in the ancient Near East, such as Assyria, Babylon, or Egypt, or the smaller cities, states of Aram, Moab, and Ammon. 2 Kings 15, 29, 16, 1, 5 through 6, 7, 2 Kings 17, 1 through 5, 6, 18, 7, 13 through 20, and 21. Eventually, the northern kingdom was conquered by the Assyrians in 722 BC. Isaiah is the most quoted prophet in the New Testament. The book of Isaiah is the first of the three major prophets, that is, the three longest prophetic books. It positions as the first reflects the fact that Isaiah himself lived in, whereas Jeremiah and Ezekiel lived approximately 100 years later. It thus had its scales in common with those two books, but it also deserves setting alongside Micah, who, like Isaiah, prophesied in Judah. The book as a whole reflects several different periods, but it is not merely an anthology of unrelated prophecies. In all three parts of the book, Yahweh is the Holy One of Israel. The entire book is a message from the Holy One. God instructed the prophet Jeremiah to go to the potter house where God would illustrate his relationship with Israel. Verses 2 through 6 says, "So I went down to the potter house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, 'Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?' declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel." Although God allows human beings freedom to make moral choices, he demonstrates often that he is still sovereign and in control of his universe. He does whatever he wills with his creation. Psalms 135:6, 115:3, Daniel 4:35, Isaiah 46:9-11. Psalms 135:6, and this is the King James Version, it says, "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places." Psalms 115:3 says, "But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he had pleased." Daniel 4:35 says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, 'What dost thou?'" Isaiah 46:9-11 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, 'My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure,' calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed this. I will also do it." We need frequent reminders that God is over all and can do as he pleases, whether we understand his actions or not. Romans 9:20-21. Romans 9:20-21 says, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that replieth against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, 'Why hast thou made me thus?' Has not the potter power over the clay, or the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? He owes us nothing, yet chooses to extend to us the utmost patience, kindness, and compassion." Jeremiah 29:24, Psalm 36:10, Psalms 103:4-17. Jeremiah 9:24 said, "But let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the thing I delight, said the Lord." Psalm 36:10 says, "Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that knew thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart." Psalms 103:4 says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy?" Psalms 103:17 said, "But the mercies of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." The potter working with the clay reminds us that God is at work in us for his good pleasure. Isaiah 45:9 says, "Woe to those who quarrel with the maker, those who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, 'What are you making?' Does your work say the potter has no hands?" God has created each of us the way he wants us. Psalms 139:13-16 and Exodus 4:11. Psalms 139:13-16 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Exodus 4:11. "And the Lord said unto him, 'Who has made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord?' It is our responsibility to take what he has given us and use it for his glory and pleasure. In doing so, we find our ultimate fulfillment. Rather than live with disappointment and dissatisfaction with what God has or has not given us, we can choose to thank him in everything. Ephesians 5:20, Colossians 3:15. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Just as the clay finds its highest purpose when it remains pliable in the hands of the potter, so our lives fulfill their highest purpose when we let our potter have his way with us. That means passing the test. There are going to be trials and tribulations. There are going to be incidents that throws us off balance. But God is still in control, and he makes us for his perfection. Once God brings us out of the fire, then we will be as pure gold. We've been talking about the refiner's fire and the fact that for all the imperfections to be burned out of the gold, it must be put in the fire. So all the problems that we are going through, all the trials that we are facing in life, God is there to make us. God has provided a way to escape. He's there and in control. In conclusion, some of us are messy piles of yarn. We are no longer crisp and rolled into a perfect ball. We have been used. We have been woven by life circumstances into things that are crooked or off-center or unpleasant to look at. We are damaged. We are clay that have been marred by life circumstances. The creator, the one who holds the needle, the potter that fashioned us together, has a plan for what we will look like when we are complete. Things happen and mistakes were made, and we are no longer resemble the intent pattern. In essence, we've been broken, just like the prophets. Jeremiah and Isaiah spoke to Israel to turn from their sins. God promised them if they turn from their wicked ways that he would bless them abundantly. But we know as we read the Bible, they didn't always do what they were supposed to do. And if we would get serious with ourselves, we don't either. However, God is saying in his word on today that he is in control. Thank you, Lord. Just like the environment of Israel times, we also live in perilous times. But God is still working it out for our behalf. God doesn't throw us away, but sometimes we have to redo our first works. If you feel like you have made a mess of things, or if you feel like you have made too many mistakes, and it can't be fixed, know and believe that you are still usable to the creator, the master, the weaver of our lives. Here's the key to being perfected. First, present yourself to him just as you are, flaws and all. Next, ask him to pull out the threads of your heart, to pull on the threads of your heart. Then ask him to weave you into something beautiful. Declare that you are ready to be pulled apart and put back together again. Then let him transform you from a mess into a masterpiece. Unravel your heart and turn it into his heart. Next time you're in your kitchen or looking at that quilt, take a note. Every piece of work that has gone into those perfect plates or that blanket that has been quilted so beautifully, each thread has to be added or worked on in order to make that item perfect. And the pottery that we have around our house, we know that if it falls off the shelf, it will break. We can't put the base back together. But God, so when we look at all the artistry that has gone into these items, we need to understand that every thread represents a piece of our lives, what we've gone through, the tears we've shared, and life events that has caused us pain. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Saints, we are new creatures in God. We are not perfect in our own selves, but we're striving to be perfect in God and through the Holy Spirit. It works in us to do the will of God, and we are at perfection when we place our hands in God's hands. Back in Corinthians 5:17, and this is the New Living Translation, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Isaiah 43:18 in the New Living Translation says, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. Isaiah 64:8, and yet, O Lord, you are our, we are the clay and you are the potter. We all are formed by your hand. Revelation 21:5, and I'm still reading out of the New Living Translation. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come boldly yet humbly before your throne of grace. God, you said in your word that they that worship you must worship you in spirit and in truth. And we come with open hearts to worship you. We come to magnify you. We praise you. We give you the highest praise. Hallelujah. Because you are God. You are the King of kings. You are the potter, and we are the clay. Now, God, before we ask you for anything, we thank you for everything because you are majestic in all your ways. You are the God that provides for your people. We praise you in advance that someone will be delivered. We praise you in advance that someone will be healed, and we praise you in advance that someone will be set free. We praise you because you have been the lifter of our heads, and we give you the glory, God. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Lord, you started us on our way with our minds looking towards heaven. Forgive us today, God. Do us like the potter do the clay. Break us. Shape us to what you want us to be for your glory, Lord. Help us to continue in the press. Bless your people everywhere. Look on Dr. Carrie, Lord, and bless her in her endeavors. Look on our leaders. Look on my pastor, Superintendent Dr. and Lady Gibbs. Look on everyone that is on this blog and everyone that will be listening to it live. You know what they need. Continue to encourage their hearts, the whole household of faith. Continue to look on those that say, pray for me. Lord, you know all of the unspoken requests. Do for us that which only you can do. Lord, look on the bereaved families on today. God, look on our children and grandchildren. Stir them up, God, for they know the way. Don't let them rest. Lord, mold and make them again for your glory. Then, God, go before and make the crooked places straight. Keep us in the center of your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where Dr. Reverend Maria Carey is the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And today was your co-host, Evangelist Missionary Terry Rogers. Tune in at the same time on next week for another exciting lesson from Dr. Maria Carey. She will be returning. Remember, if you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text Dr. Carey at 309-750-7584 or email her at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. AmazingGraceMinistries. That's Amazing Grace Ministries with an A and an E at gmail.com. Be blessed and enjoy the remainder of your weekend.